matter of fact, if they took it out, you could drive there. And you could be there. But they put it like 2 or 3 feet in this little safe zone. But if you go too far and they take it out, you go right off the cliff. You run off a bridge. You run into head-on traffic. And you have this great, you have these accidents. And so they put these guardrails in to keep us from having those. And what I've been trying to say, and I wouldn't begin this series, my idea, my thoughts is this, that, you know, there's areas in our life where we need to set up some guardrails. There's some areas in our life where we need to kind of step back and say, you know what, I need to have this guardrail. I need to have this buffer zone. I need to have this thing here to help me. Not that it's wrong, but it need to have this comfort area here. There, maybe there's some financial guard zones. Maybe there's some relationship guard zones, guardrails. Maybe there's some moral or some ethical guardrails, some dating guardrails, some financial guardrails. You know, it's okay to do that, but you know what? If I want to stay safe, if I want to be okay, I'm going to stay on this side of the guardrail. I'm going to stay over here on this guardrail and not over here. Most of us could have probably have avoided one of our and some of our greatest regrets if we had had guardrails. Have you ever heard the question? Now, see, as a pastor, I get this question. I'm wondering, and I'm thinking about, but I want to ask you first, is sin? Fill in the blank. Is this blank sin? Is it sin if I get this. Anybody, have you have friends like that? You know, is it sin to, you know, what they're asking is, where's the guardrail? How far can I go without sinning? How close to the edge can I go? Now, we're going to talk about sex later on in this series of messages, but I remember growing up, we talked about how far can I go before it's sin. Now, I know we don't go to drive-in movies anymore, but that was the big thing to do. You know, and how far can we go? And where's that guardrail so that I stay on the safe side, I go as far as I can, just I don't want to sin. And we kind of began looking, and I wanted to kind of challenge us with this. And what's interesting about our culture, and I shared with you last week, our culture, they know there's this boundary. They know it's there, and they challenge us to get right up to the edge. I get my credit card bill. Now, we're going to talk about finances later, but just to kind of tell you, I pay my credit card off every month. I use it a lot, and I pay it off every month. I have no credit card debt. But I get that bill every month. You know what a little blocks on there says this? Available credit. You owe this much. This is how much you have. And you have this much available. Now, I got one that says there's thousands of dollars available. All right? Multiple thousands. I could go out and buy me a motorcycle. Hint, hint, right? Yeah. I could go out, you know, $15,000, $18,000. Some of you probably have more than that. I'm just a poor preacher, all right? It's just, you know, whatever it says there. Now, you know, you can go out and do that. And they say, I could charge that. Now, I don't know who's stupid enough to say that, all right? But here's the question. If I did do that and all of a sudden I can't pay it, guess who's in trouble? Not the person that says I could do it. Not the person that says, hey, here, the paper said it's okay. See, our culture says, get near the end, get near the edge. Matter of fact, just jump off. But then when you do it, they're going to yell and scream at you. You know, those phone calls start coming. Credit card collector. 1, 2. Isn't that what our culture does? You know, get right up to the edge, and then if you fall over it, they're going to jump on you. And they're going to pounce on you. And what I want to do and what I'm trying to say in this series of messages, we need to kind of set up a guardrail that puts us a little further back from that edge. Like I say, the edge for me financially is I will not charge, so I have a debt that goes over a month. I'm not going to charge. I'm not going to have credit card debt. I'm not going to pay somebody 15% to use their money. And I set a boundary. This is what I can do. This is what I'm not going to do. Relationship-wise, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm not going to do. And I set these boundaries up, and I have these things that say, here's how I'm going to live, and here's what I'm going to do. And we can avoid regrets, and we can avoid problems, and we can avoid burdens, and we can avoid things in our life. I'm sure you're sitting here this morning and think, you know what, if I hadn't done, if this wasn't the choice, and those regrets and those things that we wish we could have avoided and that we could be avoiding today. And a lot of times it goes for years afterwards. It never catches up with us until 40 years later. And then it bites us again. And this morning what I want us to do, and I gave you a definition of guardrails here because this is really what I want. Here's my goal. I want you to have a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience. That as you're going through life, as you're making your decision, as you're making your choices, as you're experiencing life, that you come up to this guardrail and you're getting close and something in your head just clicks and goes, wait a minute, slow down. You don't want to run into that. You don't want to hit that. Slow down. I have a computer program that keeps track of my money. And there's a little thing in there that has a warning. If I start using my credit card and you start getting close to a guardrail, a bumper zone, it starts saying, beep, beep, you're spending too much money. It does. The computer program would tell me, that's a guardrail in these computer programs. But see, we need that. You want something in your head that when you're getting close, when you're getting near that situation that just clicks and says, red flag, woot, woot, woot. You know, siren starts going off. Red lights start flashing. It's like, wait, wait, slow down. You're getting near the cliff. You're getting near the edge. If you keep going, you're going to be crash and burn. How many of us can name a friend of ours, or maybe even a relative of ours, who's rolled off a cliff and crashed and burned in life because they didn't have a guardrail? Financially. Relationship, dating, marriage, morally, ethically. You know, they just kept going ahead, and you're sitting there and you're going, what are they thinking? You ever look at somebody and go, where's their head at? Anybody besides me? And you know, there's these guardrails we need in our lives, and what's the system? What is something? And this morning I want to talk about relationships. Matter of fact, I'm going to call them friends. I'm going to talk about our friends and maybe some so-called friends. Anybody ever had some so-called friends? Yeah. Those that were so-called? Yeah. As I was thinking about the message, I can remember, well, I'm going to kind of meddle right now for some of you. I can remember when I tried cigarettes, all right? Now, I don't smoke cigarettes, all right? Just be assured. I know some of you do. Hint, hint. Leave it there. But I don't. But I can remember when I tried cigarettes. Was I by myself? Was it Gary kind of sneaking away? Nobody around me? Went out and snuck out and bought a pack of cigarettes? No, I was sitting in a car going to a drive-in movie theater with a friend of mine who was lighting up his cigarette. And I go, hey, let me try that. How many of us, and it tasted horrible, all right? You know, I don't understand those who smoke. I'm sorry, but that's me. But a guardrail, I mean, I was with my friends. Think about that time in your life, one of your regrets, one of those things that bothers you now, something that you look back over your life and your past, and it just kind of weighs on you, kind of irritates you sometimes. Sometimes it flashes across your mind. Were you with a friend? Were you by yourself? Most of the time, when we make some of our choices, especially some of those things we regret, we're with somebody that we trust. We're with a friend. We're with somebody that we've let into our life. Someone that we've kind of let join us in our lives. How many of us remember growing up that your parents worried about who you ran around with? Anybody? Your parents worried about who you were hanging with. Yeah. Or maybe you were told, you can't go over to their house. And why can't I go to their house? You're just not going to their house. Anybody have? And we set up these boundaries, and you know, we worry about who our kids are friends with and their choices of friends, and we ask them questions about who that friend is and about their parents. And it's like, I'm going to go spend the night at so-and-so's house. And it's like, well, are their parents home? No. Well, yeah, you think you go spend the night at their house? Yeah, I'm sure you're going to go, well, what's wrong with it? Nobody's there to bother us. We're not going to bother anybody else. Yeah, I'm sure. and we worry about it. Today, it's really nice, okay? You need to know, parents, kids, let me tell you something. It's really easy to spy on kids today, all right? You need to know that. There's really some good tools out there. Let me tell you some of the tools. Facebook. That's a good spying tool, kids. Yeah, you post everything on there. You know? You can find anything your kids are doing. Just look at Facebook. You know what? When I pay the bill for the cell phones and stuff, that's my phone. I want to read your text messages. I'm reading your text messages. Privacy. I'm a child. No, I don't care. I paid the bill. That's my phone. That's my guardrail. But nowadays you can give them a cell phone. Don't even tell them. You can have it GPS for them. You can find out where they are by just pushing a button. We live in this world, and we worry about who our kids run with and who they're hanging around with, and we worry about their choices of friends. Because, see, what happens when you get around your friends, you begin to drop your guard. That's what makes it good about being. You want somebody you can be honest with. You want somebody you can be open with. You want to be around people who accept you. And so you build this friendship up, and you build this acceptance up. But when you do that, there's some danger in that. Because sometimes those friends aren't moving in the same direction you're moving. Sometimes they're not doing the same things and the values that you have. And so all of a sudden, they're kind of moving in a different direction than you, but they're your friends. And you begin to drop your guard, and you begin to move in those ways, and you wonder. You begin to think. You begin making choices that you might not have made, and you might not have wondered. But, you have these omega, these friends, this posse that you run with. I guess they call it a posse now, don't they? Who's their posse and that kind of stuff? I don't know. I guess I can try to be hip sometimes. Yeah. But you have all this going on in your life, and you just try to figure it out. And we stress and we worry about these friends and these choices of friends and all of that. And so I put this statement up here. Look at this next statement, if you got your outline. Look at this next statement. Your friends will ultimately influence the direction and the quality of your life. Everybody agrees with that. Anybody here disagree with that? That your choice of friends will influence the direction and the quality of your life. And we need to think about who we're hanging around with and who we're running around with. You get these college students, they go, our kids grow up, they go off to college. They enter the college system. They spend their first year in college. And all of a sudden, they're looking in the mirror. They went off. They're on fire for God. They're sold out for God. They got all those Christian CDs and all the Christian music. And they're really committed. They're going to go change the world for Jesus. And that freshman year ends. And they're looking in the mirror. And they're starting to go, who am I? Here's these friends and here's these professors, and here's all these people that I'm hanging with now, and it's, who am I? What should I be doing? And we start wondering about these questions because we're hanging with these new people, and they have different values, and they're living differently, and they're making different choices. And so we're hanging with them, and all of a sudden, it's kind of like, how does this work? We start wondering who we are. And for good or for bad, influences from our friends impact our life. We can't deny that. We can't run from that. It's a fact. How many of us can look back over our lives and can name some friends that influenced us? Right now, you're probably thinking in your head, there was this person. There was this person. This one was a good one, and this one wasn't so good. And we have these relationships. And it's important. Friends can be a positive thing, though. How many times have you sat in a church or you've been around somebody standing up and they're going to give their testimony, we call it. They're going to tell you about their life. And they go down telling all the story of all their decisions and all that. But then somebody came into their life. They met somebody somewhere and shared their story about Jesus. And at that point, they began to change their lives because somebody said something or somebody did something or somebody crossed their path. And it was somebody there. See, friends can be either a good or a bad thing. But whether way or the other, they're going to influence our lives. Those that you run with, those that you hang with, those that you associate with, they're going to influence your life. It's a guarantee. It's not a matter of if, it's what. And we need to understand that. And what's interesting is, it's not new. I'm going to look at a scripture here that is 3,000 years old. And I want you to tell me if you think this is true today as it was when they wrote this. This is 3,000 years old. Look at the scripture here. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. That is 3,000 years old. How true is that today? Anybody agree with that? Is that true today? Raise your hand if you think that's true today. Hasn't changed in 3,000 years. You think it's going to change tomorrow? Anybody think it's going to change tomorrow? Next week? 3,000 years ago, Solomon sat down in the book of Proverbs and wrote some very wise sayings, very worthwhile reading. I'm going to encourage you. Read. All you got to do is read a chapter a day, and you can read the whole thing in 31 days, usually a month. You can read the whole thing. Very wise saying. And this is one of those. If you walk with the wise, you become wise. If you hang with the fool, you suffer harm. I want you to notice in that verse, there's a promise and a warning. All right, as you look at that verse, there is a promise and a warning that your friends are going to impact your life. Those that you associate, those that you hang with, those that you run with, are going to impact your life for good or bad. And so the promise is, if you walk with the wise, you become wise. If you hang with those who are wise, who make wise decisions, who make wise choices, if they go and do the right things, if you hang with those who are wise, you'll be wise. Here's the definition of wisdom for you. A capacity for understanding and discernment. They can understand. They know. Here's a word you might want to write down there. I'm going to write this word down. Write the word connect. C-O-N-N-E-C-T. A wise person understands that life is a bunch of connections. Here's the reality of wisdom and of life. What I did yesterday affects my today. Is that true? What I did last week affects my today. What I do today will affect my tomorrow, will affect my next week, will affect my next year. Life is a connection. It's all connected. It's all hooked together. And a wise person understands that. See, a wise person says that what I do today will make a difference for tomorrow. But most of us, we live in this instant society, right? I want a baked potato. I put it in the microwave. Instead of taking a half hour in the oven, I can get it in 10 minutes. We want everything instantly. And so we think everything is an instant life. And we live life that way, and we don't understand that. Wisdom says everything is connected. Everything is connected. I always get a picture like this. It's like these guardrails. They're all connected. They're all hooked up together. You know, on this side is wisdom. On this side is foolishness. And it's all hooked together. I don't think we see that too often in our lives. We think we can get away with things. Have you ever thought, now, I mentioned that I tried cigarettes, sitting in the car. I can tell you exactly where it was. It was called, it was the 49er Theater. On Fruit Ridge Road in Sacramento. I'm sitting in my Mustang with my friend, and we're going to see the drive-in theater that night. I can remember that night. But here's what else I remember. I remember that when I went home, the first question my mom asked me is, were you with them that are smoking or were you smoking? Because she could smell it on my clothes. It's all, it's like I can hide. Nobody's going to know. We need to realize life is connected. It's all hooked up together, and we need to see that and understand that life is put together that way. And so we have a promise. Walk with the wise and become wise. But there's also this warning. Look at this warning here. Look at what it says. Hang with the fools and suffer harm. Now read that real carefully with me. Look at what it's saying. Hang with the fools and suffer harm. Now, you hang with the wise, you become wise. You hang with the fools, you do not become foolish. All right? That's not what it says. It isn't saying hang with the fool and become foolish. It says, if you hang with the fool, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer harm. See, I don't think we see that connection there. We need to understand that if I hang with those guys, I might not do it. I might not participate. I might not join them. But I still have the consequences they get. I like watching these cop shows on TV. And they bring these guys in. They have a drive-by shooting or they had this, you know, some other murder. And they bring these two guys in. And it's so fun to watch these guys. And the one guy sat there and confesses to the whole thing. But I didn't pull the trigger. I'm not the one who pulled the trigger. He pulled the trigger. The other guy comes in. He confesses to the whole thing. But I didn't pull the trigger. He pulled the trigger. And they're blaming one. I mean, that's friends, right? Come on now. There's good friendship. But here's the interesting thing. It doesn't matter who pulled the trigger. They're both on murder charges for capital murder. Because you're with the guy that did it. Had a guy I knew. Lived in L.A. His friend had a bad drug deal that went bad. Can you imagine that? He was telling me about the story. Had a bad drug deal that went by. So they're going to go back and rob the guy. So he's walking up the sidewalk to rob this house where he had a bad drug deal go by. Somebody at the house shoots and kills his friend. He goes to jail for 7 years for murder. And he was the one with his friend who got killed. He didn't even pull the trigger. He wasn't there. But he went to jail. See, if you hang with the fools, you're going to suffer harm. You're not only going to be foolish, you're going to suffer harm. If you hang on this side of the railing with those on this side of the railing, what do you think is going to happen to you? Yeah. We try to live life, and it's like, well, you know what? Oh, I'm going to get more of this, but you know what? I can go, but I won't participate. They're my friends. I just disagree with them, but we're still friends. We're best friends. And we see that. And I think this verse really says that fools suffer harm. And here's what I want to make sure you get a picture of. I'm going to give you a little Greek lesson right here. This idea of suffer is called the third person passive. Does that make sense for you now? Clear as mud, right? If you're a Greek major or English major, you might understand that. What this means is third person passive means you don't have to do anything, but you're going to suffer. You don't have to do anything. It's happening to you. And here's a definition of what a fool is. Foolishness, stupidity, insolence. The state of being in complete lack of understanding, implying rebellion. Let me make that as real simple as I can. To know the difference between right and wrong and still do whatever you want. That's what a fool is. To know the difference of right and wrong, but I'm still going to do it. I don't care. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been that rebellious sometimes. I know the difference, but sometimes it's like, I don't care. But when I do that, guess what side of the railing I'm on? See, I need to set up some guardrails. I need to have some friendship guardrails. I need to protect myself from my friends? No. I got to protect myself from me. See, I got to protect myself from me. That's what this guardrail's for. The guardrail's not to protect the cliff. Is the guardrail to protect the cliff? Is that what the guardrail's for? Is the guardrail to protect the bridge that you're going across? The guardrail's to protect you from crashing and burning. And so when I'm looking at these guardrails, I'm talking about our friendship. It's not about them. It's about me. Do I want to suffer harm? Do I want to get hurt? Do I want to get abused? You know, well, can I hang with them and not be a part of them? I want us to think about this and to look at what it says here and realize. This is why you hear me in our church all the time. I talk about why we need small groups and why you need to be in church, why you need to be in a Bible study during the week. Because you need to be around people who are moving in the direction you're moving. Let me give you five quick things here. Just five things. Now, I could give you a Bible verse for each of these, but I'm not going to do that because they are biblical principles, but you'd have to really, I call that proof texting, and I don't want to do that. But these are five things that I think can help us in our friendships. These are five guardrails. Now, I'm not going to ask you to take every one of them, But I think you need to think about some guardrails. Look at this first one. Let's look at the first one. Your conscience should light up. When? You should start flashing. Red flag, you're getting close. Slow down, back up. Here's the first one. It dawns on you that that your core group isn't moving in the direction you want your life to be moving in. That the guys you're hanging with are not going the way you really want to go. That the people you're associated with, that the people who you thought acceptance from, that they're not moving in the way you want to move. Matter of fact, they may be going in the opposite direction. They may be going just a little ways off. It doesn't matter, but they're not going the way you want your life to go. And something in your head should start saying, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Some of their choices, some of their decisions, and you're watching them, and it's just kind of like, that's not me. Now, here's what I want to make sure you understand. As I go through the rest of these, I probably should have said this a little earlier, but this is not easy. I'm not saying, hey, this is easy. Dump your friends. Start all over. I'm not going to say this is easy. I'm not going to say it's not complicated. I'm going to talk about, as we wrap this up at the end, kind of give you some principles, but here's what you need to understand. Sometimes you need to say, I got to break this off because it's not moving in the direction I'm moving. And I need to join some of those who are. That's why I have small groups. That's what we talk about, getting in Bible study every week. Studying God's word together every week, week in, week out. That's why we talk about coming to church. Because our goal here is we're all moving in the one direction. Now, we all have different dreams for our life. We have different goals. We do different works. But we're all going in the direction that we want to serve God. We want to live by godly principles. And so we want to associate with those. We want to hang around with those and be with those. And that's what I want to challenge us with and encourage us with. And it's not always easy. But you need to think, is that person going in the direction I am? Is that a guardrail I need? If they're not moving in my direction, let me ask you this. If they don't care about their marriage, they don't care about their finances, they don't care about, if you're younger, they don't care about their parents, do you think they're going to care about yours? If they don't care about their marriage and they just, do you think they're going to care about yours? Your finances? I think we need to see, are they moving in my direction? Look at the next one. You catch yourself pretending to be somebody other than who you know, than who you know you are. You pretend. You get around them and you start acting like that you're trying to fit in. You're trying to be somebody you're not. You just want to fit in. I want to belong. I want to be a part. And so you're just trying to fit in, and you wrestle with this. Let me give you some warning signs. Here's a red flag. Here's a red flag. Has somebody ever told you, you know, when you hang with somebody, you're different? Has anybody ever said that to you? That might be a warning flag. You ever come home, and somebody tells you something along the line, you know, when you come home from that place, it takes a little while for you to get back in. And get back on track. Anybody ever tell you that? Yeah. See, there's these influences in us, and we pretend, and we want to fit in, and we try. And so all of a sudden, if you feel yourself pretending, you know, it's like, I can't really be myself. And when I go home, they say these kind of things to me. You might be on the wrong side of the guardrail. When you think about who our friends are. If you walk with the wise, you become wise. If you hang with the fools, you suffer harm. Here's the third one. Let's look at the third one. You feel pressure to compromise. Everybody else is doing it. What are you, a goody-goody two-shoe? I've been called that one. Yeah. I've had people say, what, you think you're too good? Oh, you're this religious freak? I've had that said to me. Maybe some of you have had that said to you. But if they're saying, well, come on, it's just a little bit. It's not that bad. Yeah. And you start making these compromises, and it's just a little bit and a little bit. I'm going to tell you, here's how compromise usually works. Compromise usually doesn't come up and you just leap out there. Compromise, you just kind of sneak up a little bit of compromise and a little bit of compromise and a little bit of compromise and a little bit of compromise. And all of a sudden you look back and you go, how did I get this far away? Anybody done that? Yeah. And you look back and you're just wrestling with, what happened? Because we just one little compromise after another. And so all of a sudden, is there a guardrail for compromise that, you know what, I've got to stand my ground. I'm not going to pretend. They're not moving in my direction. I'm going to stand my ground. Number four. You hear yourself saying, I'll go, but I won't. You can finish it. I'll go with you, but don't expect me to. I'll be there, but I'll stay in the car. And we'll say things like this. I'm going to tell you, does that really work? It's like the old thing, you stick your hand in the fire, you're going to get burned. It's a challenge in our lives. But I hear this one. I went with them, but I didn't partake of it. Yeah, they were all smoking that joint, but I didn't smoke it. I didn't inhale. I was there, but I didn't. Anybody ever ask the kids, anybody? Maybe my excuse, I was there, but I didn't do it. I watched them do it, but I didn't do it. Is there a guardrail that says, you know what? That's not good enough. I'll go, but I'm not going to partake. I'm not going to be a part. I'm not going to join in. I'm not going to be a part of what they're doing. Number five. You hope the people you care about the most don't find out where you have been or who you've been with. If you're somewhere and all of a sudden you're thinking, man, I hope they don't know I'm here. I hope nobody sees me here. I always think it's so funny. No matter where I go, people know me. Laura and I are running down the street trying to get to Disneyland. Drove down on a Sunday, running down the street, trying to get there quick, and all of a sudden we hear this person yelling, Laura, Laura, Gary. It's Laura's boss on Harbor Boulevard. I'm working on my doctorate over in San Francisco. We're going to go out for dinner. So we're at the seminary, which is north of the bay, north of Golden Gate, north of the bridge. So we come into the sea. We're down on Pier 39, walking Pier 39. Walking down there, we're going to go find a restaurant to eat at. We're going to go have fish. There's nine of us. And the doctor program. And all of a sudden, Frances is walking down the street with her family. It's like, I can't even hide in San Francisco. Are you places where you just hope nobody sees you? I hope nobody recognizes me. Is that a guardrail? If all of a sudden it's like, man, I hope nobody finds out I was here. I hope nobody sees that I'm on this internet page. Hope nobody reads this text message. I hope nobody sees my Facebook. I'm going to get that off there real quick. Do we see this? I think these are five really good principles to think about. Which side of the guardrail? There may not be nothing wrong with being there. But, I'm on the safe zone. But do I really want people to know I'm there? To see me there? What would you think if you walk into the Salida bar here, which is pretty dingy, I shouldn't say, I'm not going to be put them down, but there's a bar here in Salida, and I'm sitting at the bar drinking a soda. Now, what do you think people are going to talk about? That Gary's at the bar drinking a soda, or that Gary was at the bar? The conversation in town would be, what was Gary doing at the bar? Had nothing to do with it. I just had a soda. I was just sitting there visiting. See, I want to challenge us. Where's that guardrail in your life? You got these friends. They're not bad. They're just not making the right choices. They're not moving in my direction. I'm pretending. I'm compromising. I'm going to go, but I'm not going to, you know, participate. I'm not going to take part in it. I hope they don't find out. You know, I hope my parents don't find out. I hope my friend doesn't find out. I hope my church doesn't find out. I hope my small group doesn't find out. I hope. Do you think that's one side of this guardrail or the other? I think we need to think about our relationships with our friends and how it works. Now, as I went through the message, and I want you to think about these. I put check marks by these. You notice those are check boxes. You know why they're check boxes? Because you're supposed to put a check mark in the ones you want to adopt, all right? That's why I made them check boxes. I could have put anything there, but I wanted to put check boxes. I want you to think, do I need any of these in my life? Is there some that I'm getting close to? Is there a guardrail that I'm really getting a little too close to? I mean, I'm just right on the edge. And so I made these chat. I want you to think about, you know, we're in these five areas. Maybe all of them. Maybe one of them. You come home and somebody, you know, you're not yourself today. Every time you're with so-and-so, you just act different. Well, I was with them, but I didn't participate. I didn't help them. I didn't do any. I was there, but. Yeah. Do you need a guardrail? Well, we do. Do you have one? Yeah. We need to think about our friends. You walk with the wise, you become wise. You hang with the fools, you suffer harm. I want to make sure you get that. I think that's a beautiful passage because it's like, well, I can be foolish, but no, you're not going to just be foolish. You're going to suffer harm. You're going to crash over that railing. You're going to run off that bridge. You're going to fly off that cliff if you don't have guardrails. Because, see, we want to be accepted. We want to have friends. Now, I know some things like this may happen, and some of us may go in our heads like this, well, but that doesn't sound very Christian. Don't I need to reach my friends? You know, that doesn't sound very Christian. You know, aren't you judging them? Aren't you being critical of them? That doesn't sound very Christian. Well, I want to share something. There's a difference between, I wrote this down so I make sure I got it right. There's a difference between wisdom and compassion. All right? There's a difference between wisdom and compassion. And I want to challenge us to be wise and compassionate. They don't have to conflict with one another. They don't have to compete with one another. We can have both of them. And I want to challenge us with that. That sometimes the most compassionate thing you can do is say no. Sometimes the most compassionate thing you can do is say, don't go, I'm not going. See, sometimes that's the compassion. See, that's what Jesus would say. That's how Jesus would respond. As you read the Gospels, you can see he associated, as a matter of fact, he was accused of having dinner with the sinners and the fools. He was accused of that. But he didn't hang with them. He didn't run with them. But what's interesting is this. Maybe this is you as a Christian. Maybe you have these guardrails, and maybe you're the Bible person at school, or the Bible person at work, or the Bible person in your family. Somebody in your family all of a sudden walks up to you and says, you know, I'm wrestling with this. Can you? And you can answer the question. Maybe you're the one that didn't go, and they've crashed and burned, and they've went over that railing, and they're down that cliff, and their life's in flames. But you've stayed in the safe zone. And you're able to pick them up. How many of us have had a friend come to us that after we said, no, I'm not going to go. No, I'm not going to participate. No, I won't join you in that. And they come back to us and go, man, I made a bad choice. And they're there to talk with you. And you're there to walk with them and share with them and help them get back on their feet. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, we need to think about who we are. What side of the rail do you want to be on in your friendships? What side of the guardrail do you want to walk on in your friendship? It is not easy. I'm not saying it's not complicated. I'm not saying it's easy to choose friends, and I'm going to say it this way, to dump some friends. Yeah, just dump them. Now, that's what I would say. I'm the preacher. I'm going to tell you that. You say, I got this person, I'm going to say, dump them. Dump that boyfriend. Dump that girlfriend. Dump them. You don't need it. You're better than that. You know, I'm going to tell you that. Because that's easy for me to say. That might not be easy for you. Well, you don't understand. You know what's interesting? When all of a sudden you did something and you're coming back and you're going to go talk to the pastor, or you're going to go talk to somebody, and in your mind you're creating your defense already. How am I going to explain this? You know, how can I tell them this? I know, but I don't. And you start creating this whole line of defense. All these excuses. See, we live our lives like that. So the question I want to pose to you today, and I'm challenging you within this message on guardrails, and we're going to look at other areas of guardrails. What side of the friendship guardrail do you want to be on? As you look at this, is there some things in your life? You know, are your friends moving in the wrong direction? You know, they're on this side, and man, they're walking right on the edge. Are there compromises you're being challenged to make, and maybe you've already started making them? Are you pretending? You know, you hang with these people and you're one person, and you hang with these others and you're somebody else. Are you just trying to fit in? See, we all want to be accepted. There's this need in us to be accepted. We want people to love us. We want people to care about us. You know, I watch all these shows on gangs, and that's what draws people into the gangs. They have no family. They talk about they have no family, so guess who becomes their family? The gang becomes their family, and we all want those relationships. We're going to find them somewhere. So where do you want to find them? On what side of the guardrail do you want to find your family? What side of the guardrail do you want to find your friendships? I want to challenge you. See, I want you to be going through life, and these things start flashing in your head, that something in your conscience starts to click, starts to say, you're getting close, stop, think. Before you get to the edge, that there's something there to stop you. That there's something there to prevent you from just going over. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to happen by accident. Good intentions don't work. Well, I didn't intend to do that. Intentions don't work. You've got to set up some guardrails. And I'm going to challenge you through the whole series. And this morning, I'm going to challenge you. Do you have some friendship guardrails? I won't go beyond this point. I'm going to love you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be there with you. But if you choose to do that, I won't be there. Now, when your life crashes and burns, come and see me. I'll walk with you. I have told people that myself. You know? And so I just want to challenge you. Where are you at? And how are you going to wrestle with this? And it's not easy. You know? Loving and compassion. Well, that's not loving. It is. It may be the most loving thing you can do is to pick the person up after they've crashed and burned. Because I guarantee you, if you walk close to that cliff long enough, you're going to fall off. I guarantee it. You know, sooner or later, just the statistics tell you. You hang with them long enough, you're there long enough, sooner or later, something's going to catch on you. We have this thing called collateral damage. Has anybody else been caught up in collateral damage? You know, you just kind of get caught up in somebody else's problem. Anybody been caught up in somebody else's problem? Yeah. You didn't do anything. You had no part in it, but you just kind of get sucked into it. Yeah. See, guardrails can prevent that. So I gave you an idea of five. I just want you to think about that. I want you to think, how's my friendships? Am I walking close to the edge? Do I need to change some friendships? I'm not going to say it's easy. But I'm going to tell you, there's only one way to do it. Really. It's to do it. To suck it up and do it. I like a little video clip I found on the internet. Bob Newhart. Anybody know who Bob Newhart? Anybody remember Bob Newhart? Come on, some of you guys, don't tell me I'm that old. Some of you remember Bob Newhart? Remember he played a psychologist there for a while? He had his lady come into his office, and she's saying, I need to stop doing some things. And he told her, well, I don't have much time, but $50 an answer or something like this. And I can't remember all the details of the video, but it was great. She sits there and tells him her problem. He goes just like this. Stop it. She goes, is that all you want to say? Yeah. Just stop it. She goes, well, I get in an elevator. I'm afraid I'm going to fall. Blah, 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 blah. It goes on all this story. And he goes, what's your advice there? He goes, stop it. It's a whole video clip, really great video. His answer for everything is stop it. Well, I'm going to tell you, with guardrails, friendships, stop it. All right? I'm telling you. Just stop it. Put up. Don't pretend. Don't compromise. Don't fake it. Don't just move with them because everybody else is going that way. I want to fit in. I want to be accepted. Big deal. You want to crash and burn too? See, we need to understand these guardrails protect us. They save us. I'm going to tell you something. You know, if you drive in your car, you hit this guardrail, not this one, but you hit the one over here on one of these bridges, is your car going to get hurt? But you know, if you ran off that cliff, you might have died. I'm going to tell you, if you set up some guardrails, it might hurt for a while. Some guardrails, some friends that you really like hanging with. I mean, they treat you well. They accept you. You know, yeah, sometimes you got to, but it's friends. If you break that off, it might hurt. But I'd rather hurt a little bit by hitting a guardrail than crashing and burning down the hill and being damaged for the rest of my life. Am I making sense? Does any of this make sense, or is this just some crazy ideas? You walk with the wise, you become wise. You hang with the fools, you suffer harm. I'm going to tell you, if you're hanging with fools, you're not just foolish, you're going to crash and burn one day. It's just a matter of time. So I'm going to challenge you. Will you put up some guardrails? Bottom of your page, I put it real simple. Be wise. How? Set up guardrails. Go ahead and push the button one more time. Be wise. Set up some guardrails. Put up some boundaries. Be wise. Are you making wise decisions? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. That you know our hearts and our minds. You know the battles we have. You know, Lord, there's a desire to be accepted. I know there's here that battle with self-esteem and fitting in and love and compassion and relationships. Lord, we all battle with those. Some are really on the verge of crashing and burning. Lord, help us set up some boundaries. Help us set up some guardrails, Lord. Help us establish some things in our life that will keep us from crashing and burning. Lord, you promised us that Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. So, Lord, help us walk towards that life. Lord, guide each one here. Guide their friendships, their family, their relationships. Lord, I lift them up to you right now as they battle this decision. Who should I hang with? Who should I run with? There's this relationship. There's that relationship. Maybe you're here this morning as I'm praying. Maybe you're here this morning and in your mind right now you have a relationship that you know you need to get rid of. With all our heads bowed and your eyes closed and you're sitting there going, I got to change this. But maybe you don't have the courage. Maybe you don't have the strength. If you want me to pray for you, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. If you want me to pray for you, just raise your hand. I got these relationships I need to change. I got these things I need to move different. They're not moving my way. They're asking me to compromise. I want to go, but I won't participate. I see your hand. Thank you. Lord, I lift these up to you who raise their arms, their hands. Lord, the one that want to accept us the most is you, and we want you to accept us. You accept us just as we are, and you love us. But in this world, it's so hard to fit in many times. The pull of the culture, the pull of friends, the pull of relationships can drag us down. Lord, help us be wise in the choice of who we run with, in the choice of who we hang with. Help us walk with you. I lift these up to you, Lord, who raise their arm. Bless them, Lord, as they make the decision. Give them strength and wisdom. It's not easy, Lord, but it's the right thing to do. In Jesus' name, amen.